Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Dori Shafrir.
Hi, Dori. I'm Kate Spencer.
Hi, Kate. Did you know that we're not experts?
I had a hunch, but what I'm really grateful for is that you and I are two friends, and we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
It's true. And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts. We're podcast hosts, and we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or a mental health professional as needed.
And if you'd like to reach us, our voicemail number is 781-591-0390, and our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can find everything we talk about on our website, forever35podcast.com. We're on Twitter at forever35pod, Instagram at forever35podcast, and you can join the Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums. And we also have a newsletter. forever35podcast.com/newsletter is where you go to sign up.
I just want to also remind everyone that on June 7th, Kate and I will be doing a live happy hour Q&A, hangout, slumber party, sesh. And to attend, all you have to do is pre-order my book and register on my website, dori-shafrir.com. We hope to see many of your lovely faces.
I'm excited about this story.
I am too.
I'm just going to say that every time you announce it. I'm just going to say, I'm excited, because that is the truth.
I'm excited too.
It is what I have to look forward to on the calendar right now.
Oh.
Right? Like,
that's,
it's just
so nice.
It's looming there with like a big star.
I know. I'm excited. It's like we've been talking about doing something live for so long.
And I know.
Now we have an excuse.
It's finally happening.
Yeah.
I can't wait. You know what's weird though? We are not going to be live together.
That's true. Although, you know what? We could be.
We could. Should we do it?
I don't know. I was just thinking about this. I was like, you know, I guess we could be live together. Like, there's nothing. We're both vaxxed.
You know what? The only thing stopping us will be childcare on my end, possibly.
But you're,
unless you want to come to me.
Yeah, I mean, I was assuming I would come to you. My house is a chaotic mess.
Well, listen.
Let's talk about this off the air.
Did you know there is a Forever 35 Facebook group called Forever 35 Friends of Dori?
Yes, it's the LGBTQ group.
Now, why is it not Friends of Kate?
Because Friends of Dorothy was like an old
that's right.
Coded way for, I think, mostly gay men to find each other.
Okay, sorry. I just have so many comments and questions that are off the rails today. I apologize.
Well, there was a great thread in the Facebook group asking people what their favorite Forever 35 subgroup was.
Oh.
And there were many different ones mentioned, including Forever 35 Cats, which I know is a personal favorite of yours.
Yeah, which I am a full-on member of.
Oh, I'm aware.
Almost making me want to get another cat.
Oh, well, well.
I mean, someday. Okay, well, speaking of what you want to to talk about. Yes. We could and should form a Forever 35 Disneyland fans because you went to Disneyland.
I did go to Disneyland. We went on Mother's Day. We went on Sunday, May 9th. And we went because last year we had bought these like special SoCal resident 3-day passes and we had never used one of the days because the pandemic happened. So we still had these unused tickets from last year that we were able to use. And Henry is still under 3, so he gets in for free. And you know what? I have to say, it was pretty fun. Like, I would say anyone who lives in California who's been kind of considering going, I would go. I would go now when capacity is limited. There aren't huge lines, with a few exceptions. They are serious about masks. Everyone was wearing masks. Everything was very clean. They, like, when you eat and you get up, someone is like there within half a second to wipe down the table and the chairs. Wow. Like, it's very, they've clearly like really thought this through.
That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah. So we had a great time. Henry had a great time. He was just kind of in awe of all of it. And yeah, I'm glad we went. We did not spend all day there. We spent probably a total of 4 hours there, but I think with a 2-year-old, that's kind of enough.
That's enough. That's plenty for you.
Yes.
For him as well.
Yes. Yes.
Would you consider Disney to be self-care?
It's not for me. It's not self-care for me. I know it is for a lot of people. I enjoy going, especially now that I have Henry, because it's really fun to like see it through his eyes and like see the things that he gets so captivated by, because they're often just like random like strings of lights in a, you know what I mean? It's just like super random things that he's like super excited about.
Yeah.
And that's really cute. And then like seeing the characters and it was riding the train. Like there was just a lot that he was really enthralled by. So that was very fun. But I find it exhausting and overwhelming, even at 25% capacity.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not, I don't find it relaxing at all. And it doesn't like fill some sort of deep need inside of me per se. You know what I mean? But I do enjoy going, and, it's especially fun now with Henry, but I would not call it self-care.
I mean, it's also exhausting on the wallet.
It is indeed.
It is an expensive, an expensive passion, but I do know that for many, like I did not know this growing up, but because we were in Massachusetts, but here in the kind of Los Angeles area, going to Disneyland is like a huge hobby for people that involves like clothing and social groups. And it's a really big part of people's identity. And it's, and I think people really budget for it. Like it's not just like super rich families going. I think it's something that people put aside money and really devote savings towards. And I just find it really, like the culture of it really interesting.
Yes, totally. And people get special shirts made up to go. And there were a lot of those. There were some like social distancing shirts, you know, Disney social distancing shirts. Like people had kind of embraced it, I think. Disneyland masks. Yeah, I was not aware of this Disney culture until I moved to Southern California either. And it is kind of fascinating.
I'm into it. Well, they aren't doing them now, but if I could, you know, kind of rationalize a season's annual pass, I would do it. But right now, that's not really.
My husband used to have an annual pass, and sometimes he would just go by himself and like hang out there for a few hours and then come home, like not even ride any rides.
Oh, that's a dream.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing, to be honest.
Like that to me, that is not appealing to me, but to him, and I think to a lot of people, that is like a fun thing. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I mean, I don't want to get too sidetracked, but I think that is one of the fun things when they were doing annual passes, because I don't think they're going to be doing them anymore. Is that like each visit didn't feel quite so much like you had to do everything.
Right.
So you could be
relaxed.
And, yeah, you could be relaxed. So, yeah. So, I don't know. Just wanted to share that.
Oh, I'm happy you had that moment with your sweet little son.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You had some revelations over the last few days.
You know, I did get to travel, and I will talk more about like my pandemic traveling thoughts, and we're going to share some listener travel tips. I did not miss on the plane, but I'll share that for our next mini episode. But I did get to see my dad and my stepmom, who I had not seen in a year and a half. And I got to spend time with my brother and my sister-in-law, who I had not seen in, I don't know, 9 months, and my nephew. And I went by myself. My rest of my family stayed here in California. And it was just so great. It felt like no time had passed. And like, you know, I think there are a lot of people who have been able to, I mean, there's the gamut of everything in this pandemic, from people who have lost their family members to people who have seen them like it's been no big deal, right? And then there's, you know, those of us who live far away from them and, you know, and pre-pandemic times are lucky enough to be able to see them. But for this, it stopped that. And I felt really grateful, you know, just grateful to have them in my life. And I was just thinking, like, you know, how will this experience of this pandemic change me in the long run? Like if we ever get back to a space in which, you know, or if we ever get to a space where COVID is not as life-threatening of an illness as it is right now, and we kind of are able to move forward, like, what do I want to take away from this as a learning experience? And I don't say that lightly. Like, and I also understand, like, you know, I want to acknowledge the trauma that millions of people have been through and are still going through as a result of this pandemic. I'm not trying to be, you know, like, trite about it. But I just feel it was a good reminder of what is actually should and what I want to maintain as the valuable things in my life. And that's the relationships that I have, as opposed to, like, you know, the more superficial things. So I'm very grateful I got to see them. I also got to see one of my best friends from college, my friend Jessica, and I got to meet her daughter. Yeah, like, and we had some good chuckles over how dumb we were in college, and that was really wonderful.
I love a chuckle about college dumbness.
I don't remember this, but apparently I gave a presentation in some sort of science class, and through the entire presentation, I called the Cretaceous period the Cretaceous period. And then when I finished, the professor corrected me. And this memory has burned its way into Jessica's brain, but I don't have any memory of doing a presentation and mispronouncing the period I was presenting on.
That is so funny.
But, yep, that's me in a nutshell. So, you know, I love seeing my family. It was also fun because, like, immediately it was like, oh, we're back to our, like, annoying selves.
Right.
Did you find that in the experience of getting to see your family members? Like, it was like, yay! And then it was like,
totally.
I annoy you, you annoy me. Like, we're family.
Totally. And there's something comforting in that.
Yes! Yes, it felt good. Like, my dad's only, like, a little bit balder, but otherwise he hasn't changed much.
Oh,
I know.
Pops.
Oh, old Jim. So that was a really, I'm so grateful that I got to spend time with them. It was really great. And Seattle, what a town.
What a town.
I ate a creme brulee donut, Dory, at some place called The Flower Box.
Ooh.
A like bespoke donut shop.
Ooh, a donut shop.
It was good. Also, like, what a beautiful city. What am I doing down here is kind of where I left things.
It is a beautiful city up there in Seattle.
Yeah, everybody was just, like, chilling on this by this big lake. It was just like, oh, this is, okay. Guess this is what I'm missing in the Pacific Northwest. Kudos to you, Seattleites. All right. I don't even know if that's what they call themselves, so I should stop there. All right, well, Dory, let's take a break, and then when we come back, so many interesting questions for us.
We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. And when we always say we run the gamut, but this is going to be some serious gamut running after the break.
All right. BRB.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
All right. We are back.
We received a question from a farmer. They write, my question is, skincare for farmers or others who are in the sun a lot. I work outside all day, every day, and I'm a fair-skinned person who burns pretty easily. Of course I wear sunscreen, but I'm wondering about products that will help my skin not turn into one big leather wrinkle. I've steered clear of retinol and most acids because they say they make you more sensitive to sun, and I'm already fair and putting my skin through a beating every day. But also those seem like the best products for keeping my skin happy as I get older. I'm 34. Any tips? And then you know what they say? They said, thank you both for being amazing and great company when I'm doing a lot of weeding or tractor work.
Oh.
And like, that makes my heart sore.
That's amazing.
Knowing that I am on a, like, you and I are on a tractor with somebody somewhere.
Yes, we are.
Yammering on a tractor. I just think
yammering on a tractor
means so much to that you bring us along.
Well,
okay. Well, everyone. My first question, which I feel like this listener is going to be like, yes, duh. But like, are you wearing a big hat?
Had the same question, Kate.
I need you farming in a big hat.
Same.
Right? Question.
Yes. With a wide brim. Wide.
The biggest brim you can find. We're talking like circumference, I don't know, 6 feet?
At least.
A skating rink sized hat on your head, listener. We got to go big here. I think that you could find, if you're not already doing this, you've got to have a nice big hat. And you can find them with SPF materials. I mean, you can find all sorts of things. My guess would be this person already does that, but perhaps not.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't specify.
So, you know, this is such an interesting question. And I would kind of like kick the can to a dermatologist and have you go like check in with them. But my thought would be to, are you clearing your throat because you're a dermatologist?
I just went to the dermatologist.
Oh.
And we discussed sunscreen, sun tips. So I actually do have a lot to say, but please go on.
Okay. So my only thought was going to be to reapply, to make sure you are carrying some heavy duty sunscreen and reapply throughout the day, because that I think is the, I know personally where I fail with sunscreen is I put it on at 8 a.m. and then I just toot-a-loot, you know, and I don't actually consistently reapply it. So I'm going to just quiet my little mouth and let's hear your thoughts.
Okay. So my first thought is to get sunscreen from Australia, because those Australians are in the sun all the time and they know from sunscreen. So my dermatologist recommended Blue Lizard, which is a brand that I have heard recommended many times. I own some Blue Lizard. It is great sunscreen. That is the sunscreen that I would get. I agree with Kate. You need to be reapplying. My second suggestion is if you can, in addition to the large hat, I would wear like loose fitting long sleeve clothing.
Definitely.
If that is like a bearable thing for you, if you could wear like a light linen shirt. And wear it white, a white linen shirt that is long sleeve. Like, I think to the extent that you can keep your body covered, that will be ideal. Or get some of that, UPF clothing that has sun protection in it. Cooley Bar is a good website for that kind of clothing. I would just like, I would try to keep yourself covered.
I mean,
get some of that Blue Lizard.
Cooley Bar, I'm just Googling because I realized that this listener also needs to protect their neck. So I was first Googling a sun hat with neck protection, but then Cooley Bar also makes a women's sun hat with a face covering.
Well. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of other care, you know, in terms of what to put on when they're not in the sun, when they're washing their face or doing a skincare routine. I do think it's smart that they've stayed away from acids and retinol.
I agree with that, yes.
But perhaps you could add a really nice kind of hydrating serum, perhaps like a hyaluronic, niacinamide, add something that's going to be nourishing your skin. And maybe give yourself one day a week to exfoliate and then just really give yourself a nice moisturizer and then do as Dory says and Blue Lizard it up.
Blue Lizard it up, baby.
And the Cooley Bar hat that I mentioned, I have not tried it, obviously, but it's called Women's Stevie Ultra Sun Hat UPF 50+, and it comes with a roll-up neck drape and a removable face drape.
All I can say is, wow.
I mean, this is a commitment to sun protection, but it looks like it's very lightweight. This might be, this might really help.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep us posted, please, because I'd love to know kind of where you land. And if anyone has thoughts, any other farmers, I know we have other farmer listeners. So any other farmers want to weigh in or people who work outside. All right. Dory.
Kate.
Here's a question.
I'm listening.
I know you all have mentioned that a guest said it wasn't a good idea to wash your face in the shower. I'm even pretty sure I heard that episode, but I don't remember. I don't get why it's a bad thing.
Well, this was our dear friend, Caroline Hirons.
I mean, go back and listen to this episode if you can.
It's so good. She says that the water is too hot.
Yeah. You're essentially
shower
kind of
water
like
is too hot,
scorching your skin a little bit and drying it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was also doing a little reading about this, and apparently there's some argument to be made that like your other products are kind of getting onto your skin with irritants and that sort of thing. But I think it's the extended pounding of the hot water that people are concerned with.
Yeah. Now, listen, I still wash my face in the shower.
Dory, I did it this morning.
I'm going to come clean, literally. Sorry. But yeah, so I know that I shouldn't, but I do.
This to me kind of feels like a like choose your battles situation. Like if
totally
if you can shower without washing your face, get out and then wash your face, and you want to take that on, I support you. But
yeah,
there is something to be said with the about the convenience of a shower face washing experience.
Totally. All right, another email. Hello, Dory and Kate, longtime listener, first time writer. I'm feeling very lonely. I'm married and love my spouse very much, but we are human and have our struggles. My husband came out as transgender in late 2019 after 10 years of being together, 5 years of marriage. I was completely shocked, and it's been a tough time. We are doing our best to be open and honest during this new phase in her life, but it's not easy. I'm doing all that I can to be supportive, but I'm feeling very lost. I never saw our future like this, and now I have no idea what our future looks like. Neither of our families know, and I can tell that is putting a strain on her, but she hasn't been ready to have that conversation with her very Republican, closed-minded parents. She's out at work, and I've told my coworkers too. I am in therapy for many, many reasons, but I'm still struggling. It feels like my spouse and I are drifting apart. I sometimes feel like we are more roommates than spouses. We hardly ever talk about important things anymore. We don't have much physical contact anymore either, and to top it off, I feel like I have no close friends anymore. After college, my friends and I all moved away from each other. I've made a few friends in my adult life, but nothing lasting. I don't have a person to call when I just want to chat about nothing, let alone talk about how to adjust to having a trans spouse. I'm just feeling very alone right now. I feel like my life is falling apart in a lot of ways. I'm overeating. I'm not happy in my job. I lack motivation to keep the house clean. I cry easily and often. I talk with my therapist and we come up with plans, but I have a hard time sticking to them. I read all the time, but wonder if getting lost in a fantasy world is helping or hurting. I'm wondering if you or any listeners have any advice for getting out of a sadness hole.
Well, this is a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
What I hear, having read this email a few times, what I think I'm hearing from this listener are two things. One, their journey and experience having their spouse transition. And two, them experiencing depression. What I think, again, not a doctor, what I think sounds like depression. And I'm sure those two things, it's possible that they are connected. And there's, you know, also a larger, your relationship with your spouse and how that has changed over time. You know, that is always a hard part of any relationship. So my thought, and I've not been through having a partner or a spouse come out as transgender, but my thought is finding a support group for spouses of transgender partners, especially people who have transitioned in the relationship. I think that could be a massive support system for you, just because I think you probably need one. And also, I think maybe you might find some community there as well. And then two, I would ask your therapist for a recommendation for a psychiatrist, and I would talk to a psychiatrist.
Kate, I was going to give the exact same advice.
We are geniuses.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said.
You know, and another thought I had is like, well, no, I don't want to tell this listener.
Oh, the only other thing I would add is your spouse in therapy, and have the two of you considered going to couples therapy?
Yes, that was something I wanted to mention too and forgot. Thank you, Dory.
Because I imagine that I think it's great that you were in therapy, but I think there's just so much that has come up between you and your spouse and that is changing all the time. And I think it would be really helpful if the two of you could talk to a couples therapist. So that is my only other, that is my single addition to Kate's wonderful advice.
No, I think that is very, very, a very good idea to be deeply help communication. And some of these feelings about how you're struggling can be communicated there in a more safe space with someone to help kind of mediate the conversation.
Yeah.
And come up with strategies, not just like you and your therapist are doing for you on your own, but for you and your spouse to kind of implement together. I think that's really important.
But I agree.
If anyone has been through this who has thoughts or wants to connect with this listener, we would love to hear from you. But I think, you know, I want to give this listener a hug. It sounds like you are, you know, the stuff about not having, you know, you're not feeling like you have close friends. That is really hard. And if there is a space where you feel like you can have community, whether it's in real life friends, internet friends, groups online, like whatever it is, I would encourage you to see if you can seek that out. If you even feel like you know how. I mean, come join the Forever 35 Facebook group.
Yeah.
But that is a really lonely feeling, especially right now when we are still in COVID-19 times. Totally. So I think that's really hard. I know the feeling of wanting to chat, but you want to chat about adjusting to having a trans spouse. And I do feel like a support group would help. So yeah, I've said everything twice.
All right. Well, let's take another break and we'll be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
All right. We are back.
So, full disclosure, when we received the following email, I forwarded it to Dory just with one line, and I just said, "This makes me livid." So I'm going to be coming in hot here after we read this. Here it is. Hi, Kate and Dory. I had to pause the pod to comment on the listener with the Mother's Day dilemma. I am in the same boat. It happens every single year. My husband has two sisters, neither of which have children, so I am the only other mother in the immediate family other than my mother-in-law. Every year, I have to cook a big meal and host the whole family to celebrate my mother-in-law. It bothers me too. My husband and daughter usually do something nice for me either the weekend before or after, but I can't help getting irritated by the situation, by the whole situation. Yeah, I would be irritated too.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. This is really irritating.
This is like poison ivy levels of irritation on my body right now. Now, look, this listener did not ask for advice on how to deal with this situation, and I don't want to like speak out of turn. But you don't need to do this anymore.
No, you don't.
And it shouldn't even be on you to communicate that to everybody. The son of this woman, aka your husband, can be the person who draws the line here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's not a ton of information. Every year I have to cook a big meal and host the whole family to celebrate my mother-in-law. I wonder why. Like, why is it you? Why not yes. these sisters?
Yes.
But the cycle ends after 2021, listener.
Amen.
Be done with this. Why? It's not like you need to adjust, Dory.
Yeah. No.
What the fuck is this? It makes me so mad. I don't even know why I'm so mad, but it makes me mad.
Because this person's mother-in-law sounds like a narcissist. And this woman sounds like a people pleaser. And narcissists know how to take advantage of people pleasers. And it's really annoying.
Yeah, and I imagine this listener probably feels trapped in this situation and like there's no way out of it.
Totally.
Otherwise, I'm sure they...
And her husband is not standing up to his mother.
Yeah, you've got to communicate to your husband you won't do this anymore.
That's also very annoying to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Please, I beg of you, listener.
We have made our opinions clear.
I know, and you know me, I don't like to be too firm, but I've got to put my foot down.
Sometimes you got to be firm.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I want this listener to have like 50 of their own Mother's Day weekends if that's what they want. No more of this dinner nonsense. All right. Well, look, shall we end on this voicemail? It's kind of Mother's Day adjacent.
Let's do it. Okay. Here we go.
Hey ladies, I just had a question. I had a unique experience on Mother's Day. My husband works weekends, so I took my 2-year-old daughter out for breakfast by myself, which was the first time that I've done that because of COVID. This was an experience. We were sitting outside. I'm from New England. It was a little colder than probably should have been sitting outside for, but whatever. Wanted some eggs Benedict on Mother's Day. Anyway, long story short, the bill comes and the waitress tells me that the old man at the counter covered our bill and he had acknowledged and said Happy Mother's Day on his way in. And I was very taken aback. I've never had this happen. The waitress was like, oh yeah, he comes in every day. He often, like once a week, he'll cover someone's bill. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, but then I'm just so uncomfortable and I was raised by wolves. I have no etiquette. That I didn't know what to do. So I told the waitress to tell him, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate it. But I was like, do I go in there? You know, I had to pack up my daughter. She was getting restless and cranky. And the diner is small, but it was very full. So I also didn't want to like interrupt him and cause a scene and, you know, make everyone question why I got my bill covered. So I just felt really weird. And then immediately afterwards, I felt incredibly guilty that I didn't go and thank him profusely. And I've never been in a position where I can comfortably cover someone else's tab. So I don't know what I would expect if I were the one to do it. So please correct me and help me if I really botched that. Because I feel like I did, and I'm harboring a lot of guilt and feel like I had bad karma coming my way. Would love some insight from people who were raised with proper manners and social skills. Thanks so much, girls. Bye.
I mean, my first instinct is you didn't do anything wrong.
No. You did it perfectly right.
You did it perfectly right. You told the waitress to tell the guy, thank you. I kind of think that's it. I think that's the end of your obligation. It sounds like this guy gets a lot of, you know, gratification out of paying for people's meals. And I think that is probably like thanks enough for him. It sounds like. I think someone like him is not doing this to get people to thank him.
Totally.
Yeah, because otherwise he would have like come up to your table and you know what I mean? Like he wanted it to be low key. He knew you were with your daughter.
I understand a lot of like the social nerves in this situation. This has never happened to me, but weirdly it happened to Anthony in the Starbucks drive-through line recently. And someone in front of him paid for his order. And so then he like got the person behind him, I think. But I can understand why you would feel like nervous about acknowledging it and worried people would be mad. But I would think that everyone in that space would be like, woohoo. And I have a hard time imagining that people would be angry that you were the chosen recipient of the bill payment. But Dory is totally right. You have no obligation to do anything. This is somebody doing something out of like genuine kindness and that's it. And you just, you know, wave a thank you or you just walk out. Like you didn't ask for it. So it doesn't need to become your thing.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't make yourself feel bad and like rehash the feelings of not being raised properly or with etiquette or whatever it is. You did everything exactly right.
Yes. And Kate is much more proper than I am. So
what?
She says you did everything right. Then you really did.
I was, you know,
like you know, like actual manners.
I had a very, like my grandmother was very casual, but also very formal. Like definitely when we had family dinners, we had to wait till one of my grandparents raised their fork until we started eating. Did you didn't grow up like that?
No.
Have you ever heard of that?
I mean, not to like make a blanket generalization, but I don't think Jewish people do.
It's very WASPy. It's very WASPy, which is what most of my family is. But yeah, like whoever was at the head of the table, everyone would sit and wait. And then when that person raised their fork and started eating, then we could all start. So I still like will do that. Like I often don't start eating until Yeah. Okay. You're right. I was raised with some weird manners.
You know, like proper things. I'm kind of winging it.
Well, you fooled me.
Oh, well, thanks.
You've done a great job.
Thanks so much. Listen, this was a treat, as always.
Dory?
Yes, Kate?
Before we part, exciting news. Someone just pre-ordered your book for their library, Librarians of Forever 35.
Oh.
Yep. Just want you to know.
That's so nice. Thank you.
That listener email just came in.
Oh. Love that.
Well, Dory, on that note, let us part.
Indeed. All right. Goodbye.
Bye.